Okay, so let's start. Excuse me. So what I believe we're up to after a break here for the Yom HaNarayim and Sukkos and all that type of stuff is, I shouldn't say stuff, is we're up to the fifth chapter, which contains the laws of tzitzis. Okay? So again, we're on page 25. I think that's what we're up to. Yeah. Okay, so the Sefer begins, and we're on page 25, discussing laws of tzitzis. So in one, it says, they shall make them for themselves tzitzis. It says he describes as fringes on the corner of their garments. This is, as you can see, Pasuk in Bamidbar 15:38. It is a mitzvah to put tzitzis on garments which have four square corners. So again, this is we'll get into it a little later, but a garment that doesn't have four square corners is not obligated in tzitzis. Three square corners or whatever. Believe it or not, this becomes an issue. Like, sometimes you see at a wedding. Again, well, I don't want to get into it too much because we're going to get into it later. Like at a wedding, you see somebody for shtick comes out wearing a sombrero and a poncho with tzitzis on it, right? But there's other instances like this, you probably haven't noticed because you won't do it, but you know reshivas or big rabbanim wear a kapata. So it's a long coat. It's like in the old days you used to call it, well, it's a little different. They used to call it Prince Albert coat. It's a long coat. So what people don't realize is there's a slit in the back, right in the back, and it has two buttons in the back. But the slit in the back makes four corners, believe it or not. Now we'll get into it a little more, but people don't realize that kapata is a shiloh of tzitzis. There's two corners in the front, they're really like corners, and then there's two corners in the back, which we'll talk about later. So if you ever look on a kapata, the way they get around it, you don't see any reshiva walking around with tzitzis on his kapata. The reason why is what they do is on a kapata, they round off one of the corners. You don't see that corner usually because usually the back, the it folds one on top of the other slightly, so you don't see the fold. You don't see the bottom, or at least you don't normally notice that it's, but that's what they do. But it's an interesting idea. But so really, really the only time we have to put on or wear tzitzis is if we have a four-corner garment. So I don't think we, in most places where we live, we don't have four-corner garments. Again, unless you're wearing a poncho or a capota.
I've seen a lot of scarves and scarves that have tzitzis.
Okay,
We'll talk about that.
That's not so clear it needs tzitzis. Because one of the rules of tzitzis is, and we'll get to it later, is the corners, they have to be two corners in front and two corners in back. It has to cover a certain amount of it, has to be a certain size. So we'll get to that, Emirat Hashem. Okay, so in two, he says, the importance of mitzvah tzitzis. So in other words, the question is that, okay, so if it just has to be on a four-corner garment, I don't got no four-corner garment. So I won't wear tzitzis. So he says, so the pasuk continues, says, these shall be your tzitzis, and when you see them, you shall remember all the commandments, God's commandments, so you shall keep them. Right? That's the continuation of the pasuk, right? It's the next pasuk after the pasuk we just talked about before. Tzitzis has unique ability to remind us of God's commandments and to motivate us to fulfill them. The number of its threads, windings, and knots all hint to Hashem's name and the 613 mitzvahs. We'll get to this later also. The numerical value of the word tzitzis is 600. When added to the eight strings and the five knots, the sum is 613. Wearing tzitzis regularly instills us with the awesomeness of love of Hashem and His and mitzvahs. Fulfilling the mitzvahs creates a pure heart within us, forms a framework for a sanctified life, replanted with eternal values and closeness with Hashem. Now, this is a very interesting line that Rabbi Greenwald is writing, and that is, the more you do mitzvahs, so that's what he says, fulfilling the mitzvahs creates a pure heart. The more mitzvahs you do, the closer you come to Hashem. The more your heart becomes attuned. The more spiritual you feel. So, you know, so people say, I'll do, you know, a mitzvah every once in a while. Every day I'll do a mitzvah like a Boy Scout, you know, a good deed for the day. Okay, it's nice, but to really get the experience of being close with Hashem, it's cumulative. So the more you do, and the better you do it, the more fine-tuned you become. So if you just do a little here and a little there, it doesn't have the effect. Now again, it's not minimizing. It's nice, you know, somebody does whatever mitzvahs they do, but again, to really get the effect of what it means to come close with Hashem, that's what the Mesillas Yesharim talks about. Again, we're on page 25. So, you know, the more you do. So that's why tzitzis is so important. Because tzitzis reminds us of all the mitzvahs of Hashem. This is mentioned clearly in the continuation of the section which discusses tzitzis in the Torah. Quote, "You shall thus remember and keep all the commandments of all my commandments and be holy to your God." Okay. It explained in the Mishnah Berurah that if a person received a gift from a king, which was inscribed with the king's signature, he would surely take great pride in it and show it off to everyone. Tzitzis hints to the name of the King of Kings. How much more so should every Jew take pride in that mitzvah? One of our Ernst Wild members just walked in. Hobby is baseball cards collection, or card, right? So, you know, you have a valuable card, so you show it to somebody. You have autograph, right? People are big into autographs. Right? An autograph is really, you know, like, got somebody's autograph. What does it really prove? I don't know what it proves. Like, you know, you happen to meet somebody, so, you know, like, you know, I don't know what that proves. When I was a little kid, I used to like baseball, so the Dodgers, I don't know if they still have it. They used to have, like, a practice day at Dodger Stadium. Not against any team. You know, the players used to be there, and they used to, I don't know, remember. So one day, one Sunday, I hopped my mother enough, and I remember I didn't even know how to. I told my mom, yeah, I know how to get Dodger Stadium. Really, I didn't, but we finally got there, and I don't know, there were some people there, and we were all the way down. There's no ticks. You were just able to go, and there was a very popular player for the Dodgers, Sweet Lou Johnson, an outfielder, and I don't know, he finished and he was in his street clothes. And he comes up from the field and walks through the stands. So I told my mother, I said, "It's Sweet Lou Johnson." So I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to get his autograph." I was I was like 7 years old and 8 years old. So my mother went up to him, said, "Mr. Johnson, can I get you a piece of paper? Can you autograph this for my son?" He said, "Sure." He signed it. I felt really bad afterwards because then everybody, I don't know how, I don't know why they didn't notice it before. I mean, a guy comes up from the field and starts walking through. You know, he got mobbed. So we left, and there was this mob around the poor guy, right? I don't know where the autograph is. It's long gone. I don't know. But anyways, I'm saying it meant, you know, a long time ago, it meant a lot to me. So imagine if you have the autograph of, I don't know, something really important, Moshe Feinstein, right? You know, like, it really means something. You know, you see ads in the Frum newspapers now. They're selling now old antique Judaica. So like they have a letter from some type of page from Ruchaim Ozer wrote, or the Chofetz Chaim wrote. Now the people are willing to pay like a lot of money for that, right? Better than Lou Johnson, I'd say. But so imagine with all that, imagine you have the autograph of Hashem. That's what we have. Now, just for a second, I don't think he's going to get into it here. Yeah. We'll see that men wear tzitzis, women don't. As he said, one of the ideas is to remind us of all the mitzvahs of Hashem. So we know men are more visual, right? A lot of advertising, magazines, things like that. Not to say women aren't, but men are very visual. So men need a constant reminder to, you know, in the old days, I don't know if they do anymore, you know, it used to be this thing, you try tie a ribbon around your finger to remind you of something. Right, do you remember this? I never saw anybody do it, but right, do you remember this type of bobmaisa that people used to tie a string around their finger to use that to remind themselves of something? Now we don't need that because we got blackberries and trios and palms and we got all those things. Or we have paper too, to write down notes supposedly. But post-ums, things like that, which fall off and then you don't remember whether it was supposed to remind you of anyways. But men have to constantly be reminded to stay on track. Okay? So that's why men specifically, it's really important for men wear tzitzis. Number four, the mitzvah says can be fulfilled all day by wearing a talis katan. Now, you know what talis, you all know what a talis means. Talis really, in a lot of halachic works, a talis just means a piece of material. We use it to refer to one of these, which everybody out there on internet land does not know what I'm holding up now, but I'm holding what we call a talis. Technically, a talis just means a piece of material, but we use it to refer to what we call a talis. Talis katan means a small talis. That's what most of us wear under our shirts, or some other people wear it on top of their shirt, but whatever, because it's smaller. It's a mini version, if you want to call it that. But again, it's a four-corner garment with tzitzis on it. The Rambam writes, a person should be meticulous when observing the mitzvah tzitzis, for the Torah ascribes special value to it and ascribed the fulfillment of all mitzvahs to it. Right? This is derived from the verse, and you shall see them and remember all God's commandments. Right? Tzitzis has a powerful, as we saw before, ability to remind us of all the mitzvahs. Next page 26. The Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Hilchot Tzitzis, states, the punishment for one who ignores the mitzvah tzitzis is great. Well, one who is careful in its fulfillment will merit to behold the Shekhinah. I have to be careful with this. Now, again, as I say often, if a person is very careful with tzitzis, but is in Las Vegas all the time, you know, where they should not be, not spreading Torah, but so tzitzis is not gonna, help him with the Shekhinah. Here we're talking about that, you know, everyone does everything properly, so the mitzvah tzitzis is very special. And for this, it answers us for us a very important question. That is, doing tzitzis is a positive mitzvah. So let's say you don't do a positive mitzvah. You lost out on the reward. But is it like terrible I didn't do a positive mitzvah? Well, actually, it is terrible. But, you know, like, it's not like I did something wrong, is it? Answer is tzitzis is different. Since tzitzis can remind you of all the mitzvahs of Hashem, so if you don't do tzitzis, that means I don't care if I'm reminded to do all the mitzvahs. It's not important to me. So therefore, if a person doesn't do the mitzvah tzitzis, it's not good. How does he get punished for that? There's a whole long discussion about that. But again, the mitzvah tzitzis is different than other positive mitzvahs. Okay?
Is visible or not?
I don't know if he discussed that. I didn't get all the way in my preparation. But, let's see. I think it looks like he doesn't discuss it. Believe it or not, that's the difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. The Machaber says you should wear them out. And the Mishnah Berurah makes a big deal about wearing them out. So we wear them out. Again, if the whole idea is to remind us of the mitzvah, so then that makes sense. Interestingly enough, Sephardim don't. They wear the tzitzis in. And I asked the Sephardish Rav not long ago, because it was curious to me, because the Machaber, who usually the Sephardim follow, says you should wear them out. So he told me, we had a whole long discussion about it, but basically he told me the idea is based upon Kabbalah sources. that have been accepted, a big Sephardic Talmud Chacham told me this, recently, that has been accepted amongst the Sephardic world to wear it in. Interesting. Even though the Machaber, Shulchan Aruch says you should wear them out. So it's very interesting. So Sephardim wear them in. In fact, I saw what precipitated this discussion of mine with this Sephardi Rav was because I saw somewhere that one of the big Sephardi leaders railed against Sephardim who wear their tzitzis out. Saying, you know, they're not keeping with a Sephardi tradition. So I thought it was curious because, you know, like, I would assume they follow the Machaber. So he basically said that there's other sources that they follow, not necessarily the Machaber, why they wear it in. But again, yeshivish people, Hasidim, wear it out, and Sephardim usually wear it in. Five, it is a mitzvah to make a beautiful talis katan and tzitzis. This can be derived from the verse, it's my God, I shall beautify him, right? We say it in davening every day. So now it's Yashar. Zeh keli vanveil, by Kali Yisrael said when the split, after the sea split, this is my God and I'll beautify him. Our sages explain how do we beautify God by performing his mitzvahs in a beautiful manner. Right, so, we could, you could do, this applies to any mitzvah. The Gemara specifies tzitzis and other things, but it applies by any mitzvah. Now, of course, you could go overboard with it. You know, I'm going to beautify the mitzvah of going to shul to make sure I get there quickly and nicely so I'll buy a Ferrari. You know, like, that's not what we mean. Right? But, and see, this has a powerful impact. It shows your love for Hashem that I don't want to do it cheaply. Also, it has an effect on you. If you have nice tzitzis, well, I'm just using that example because that's what we're talking about. It has an impact on the person who's performing the mitzvah. Gee, you know, this is really nice. You know, it has an impact on you. If you have a nice sukkah, right, that's one of the examples given. Nice sukkah. So it was very interesting to me that somebody came to our sukkah, a friend of one of our kids, a friend of Avrami's, walked in and said to me something, but wow, this is the first wood sukkah I've seen in the whole neighborhood. I don't know if that's true or not, you know. But, you know, like, sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, I don't know. I keep on telling my wife every year, I like our sukkah. Like, oh, there's something to old-fashioned wood sukkah. You know, like, oh, I don't know, there's something to it. So, again, so it has an effect on you performing this. So if you're supposed to live in the sukkah and be there all the time, so you have to make the sukkah a place where you want to be there, not just eat and get out of there. Same thing at times with tzitzis or tefillin or anything, you know? So that's a very important idea we should have in mind. Now, again, a person has to be careful of their finances and things like that, but, you know, like, nice to have a nice mitzvahs. Number six, talis katan. Men must wear a talis katan with tzitzis attached to it throughout the day. Again, we all know now talis katan means a garment with tzitzis on it, but it's small, so it's portable. I don't know if you want to use that term. Okay, this garment is commonly referred to as tzitzis, right? That's what we call, a lot of times you go into a Judaica store or whatever, say, I need a pair of tzitzis. It's not a pair, but I need some tzitzis. So technically, they could just sell you the strings, but usually, generically, it's referred to the whole thing. In other words, the garment, so, and the fringes. Men should put on a talis katan immediately after washing their hands in the morning, so as not to walk 4 amos. You know how much 4 amos is? 4 cubits, somewhere between 6.5 feet and 8 feet, something like that. So they shouldn't walk 4 amos without wearing tzitzis. Okay? People do that. Now again, we're going to talk about the bracha later. Before we do a mitzvah, any mitzvah, positive mitzvah, make a bracha. So you have to make a bracha on tzitzis too. Okay, so we'll get to that. So just hold off on that. But at some point, before putting on tzitzis, you're going to have to make a bracha. Okay. Seven. One should be careful that his talis katan is not too small. Right? It has a requisite size. We might call a talis katan a small talis, but it still can be really small. It shouldn't be really katan. If the talis katan does not meet the halakhically required measurements, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. There's several opinions regarding the minimum width of the shoulders of Talis Katan. According to the Chazon Ish, each shoulder should be at least as wide as the neck hole. So in other words, we got a problem. Obviously, you need a neck hole. You need a way to get your head through the tzitzis, right? It doesn't apply to a big talis, which we wrap around us. But to the small talis, you got to put it on, right? So there has to be a hole. So wait a second. If there's a requisite size, so you have airspace, right? So now the question is, so how do I calculate with the airspace? How about the shoulders, right? The shoulders are broken up by the neck space. So the shoulders count and the shoulders not count. Could I have a string, right? It's like what they used to call them sandwich boards that people used to walk on, right? The 99-cent store, right? You know, so you have two strings, and you have a piece of material in the front, a piece of material in the back. So again, so we're saying now the Chazon Ish says you shouldn't do that. Each shoulder should be as wide as the neck hole. Now, the women don't know this, but there's two styles of, see, we allow for individual expression in Judaism. So there's two different styles for a small talus. And one is that it has an O opening, right? So it's just an O. The other one is a V-neck, which is just like a slit, and then there's flaps. Can you imagine this? I should really had this better. Now, with the V, so it's pretty much closed, you know, except for the part that... But with the O, there's more open area. Now, which one do you wear? Whatever, you know, whatever the person wants to wear. It's their own personal decision. But again, we are worried about space because we have to have a certain size. Now, the size, I don't think he says it here. The size has to be tallest cotton. Has to be the size that the material could be used that a child would walk out with it out in the open and not be embarrassed. Right. So in other words, there's enough material here. So according to the Chazon Ish, the minimum width of the Talis Katan is an amma. So you know what an amma is? An amma is a cubit. Elbow till the end of this finger, the longest finger. What this finger is nothing in this finger. The
big finger.
The big finger. Believe it or not, in halakha we call this finger the amma. Now you know why. Because an amma is measured from the elbow to the end of this middle finger. Well, whatever. The longest finger. That's why we call this finger halakhically the amma. Right? Isn't that cool? Okay, so you have to have a cubit worth of material. Right? That's the width. Chazon Ish says a cubit is 22.7 inches, while Rav Chaim Noah, also is one of our main sources for measuring, rules that an amma is 19 inches, 18.9 inches. Okay, so the difference between the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim Noah is 22.7 inches versus 18.9 inches. Let's say almost 4 inches, a little less. Talis katan should be at least 3/4 of an amma long in front and in back. So in other words, preferably you have 3/4 of an amma in front, 3/4 of an amma in back. It is preferable for the talis katan to be a complete amma in front and in back. That's usually what we try to do, have a complete amma in front and complete amma in back. So again, according to the Chazon Ish, it's close to 23 inches. So you'll see this. That you have tzitzis, which they call 18 inches ones. That means they basically go according to Rav Chaim Noah. If you go according to the Chazon Ish, you'll have close to 24 inches. This is a famous argument. So you could really wear the smaller one, but like yeshivish people, they try to wear Chazon Ish size. So you have to keep another idea in consideration, and that is the size of the person. right? You're talking about a 13-year-old boy. As soon as they become bar mitzvah, so they have to wear, right? They have to wear the requisite size. They can't wear kiddie size anymore. So you have it's just bar mitzvah now. All of a sudden, bar mitzvah, he's got to wear the right size. So all of a sudden, you have a 13-year-old wearing 22.7 inches. It depends on the kid, but might be big, right? So some kids do this. They do that. But usually we wait a couple years until they're a little bigger, or maybe a couple days, and when they grow, but again, that's another consideration if it's going to be swimming on a person. Okay, so preferably it could be 3/4 of a amma front and 3/4 in back, but preferably it should be an amma and an amma. If each shoulder is wider than the neck hole, they may be included in the length of the talus koton. So again, if the shoulders are wide, which is the way they usually make it, so then the shoulders count. It can make a big difference. Otherwise, the length of the front and back sections of the talus koton are measured from under the neck hole. Right, right. That's one of the advantages of the V-neck. But again, it's personal preference. You know, okay. Right? Now this is important. It is advisable that a new talus koton be a little larger than the measurements given, as it may shrink when washed. Right? So, but again, they usually do that when they manufacture them. Now see, you have to think about that in the old days when you had tzitzis, so you know, you took a piece of garment and you made, well, we'll see, and you made your own tzitzis. We're fancy today, right? Go to a store, they have it already done for you. Sometimes they have the tzitzis on there already for you. We'll discuss that later. You know, with stripes, without stripes. Right? I remember a few years ago, Debbie and I had discussed to go to the Eretz Yisrael. So I wanted to get some new tzitzis, so I met up with one of my nephews. He was learning in the mirror, and he said, where can I get tzitzis? You know, in Gula, Mea Sharm, you know. So he said, this is where all the guys go. So we went into the place, and you get 21 questions. You want Rochaim Noah, you want the Chazon Ish. You want cotton, or you want wool? Do you want one hole, or you want two holes? Do you want white stripes, or, you know, if you're going with wool, you want white stripes, or you want black stripes? You want this, you know, like that, you know, like it takes like an hour to pin down, like, okay, I want this, you know, like, you know? Okay, there's a lot more questions there. One who does not wear a talus gadol, in other words, they don't wear, he calls a prayer shawl, right? While reciting chakras, in other words, like with a lot of Ashkenazim, Jewish people, a single person, right? A single guy, let's say, who doesn't wear a talus, recites the blessing al mitzvah tzitzis before putting on his talus koton in the morning. So, right, so he has to wash his hands. But when he puts on the tzitzis, the small talus, you make the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. Bracha tashem elohim alcham asher kisham mitzvah tzivanu al mitzvah tzitzis. One must remember, however, that this blessing may only be recited if the talus koton is required size, right? And we'll get to it later. You have to make sure your tzitzis are kosher, even if you have the right size. We'll get to that later. But he will say that, right? That, he'll get to that at 9. Okay, so let's hold off on that. A person, yeah, I'm sorry.
Just to make it clear, when you say the width, does that mean the whole width or the width of each shoulder?
When he says, no.
The width from one shoulder to the other.
It means to be an amma? That's from one shoulder to another.
Like from one side.
Right.
Okay. It's not
right.
That each shoulder.
So the question
be,
is, no. That would be impossible. Unless you're Shaquille O'Neal or something. Okay. Never know. A person, page 27, I'm sorry. A person who wore tzitzis throughout the night, like on Shuas, or, believe it or not, based upon the Rizal, some people wear tzitzis even when they sleep. So either one of those circumstances. Or you're doing an all-nighter, as we call it, for whatever reason, right? So you wore tzitzis all night, does not recite the blessing al mitzvah tzitzis over it in the morning. And that was because you were wearing it all night. So you don't make a new bracha in the morning. Instead, one should wrap himself in a big talus, a talus gadol was, he says, and recite the blessing of tzitzis over it, intending to include his talus koton in this blessing. Okay, so This applies to a married person every morning. A married person puts on the small tzitzis, which he's going to wear all day, but he doesn't make a bracha on it. Because a married person is going to put on a talus later, and on that talus he'll make a bracha. So he doesn't have to make two brachas, one on the small talus and one on the big one. So we just tell him to wait, and then on the big talus he'll make the bracha on the big talus, and that will absolve the bracha on the small talus which you put on before. Now you're wondering, why do we do that? Why doesn't he just make two separate brachas? The answer is because a talus is a big talus is a better bracha. Why? Because a talus is better. Why is a talus better? Because you're actually wrapped, completely wrapped, encased in the tzitzis. So that's better. So we don't want to make you two brachas, so you make one bracha. So better make the bracha on the better thing, if you want to call it that. That is the big talus, right, like we have here. But again, like let's say, for example, for a single person, so you make the bracha on mitzvah tzitzis. Unless you had it on all night, like Shavuos night, so you don't. So what does a single guy do Shavuos night? So you go up to a married person and say, could you have me in mind? The married person makes the bracha on the big talus, has the single person in mind, then the single person says, answers amen, right? Each one had the other one in mind, kisses the tzitzis, and that's it. Nine, very important, people don't know this. Before reciting the blessing on the talus gadol or talus katan, one should examine the strings of the tzitzis to make sure they're not torn. The part of the tzitzis which pass through the holes in the corners of the garment should be examined, and the strings should be separated from each other so that they do not become entangled. I think this is why people ask to learn this, because he explained it very well. But here, you got to actually see, that's why I took out the talus. You got to see how to do this. Now, this is how a lot of people who are not experienced don't know. So you fold up the talus. Let's say the talus, let's say if you have a talus, talus is in your talus bag, right? So it's folded. Right? So it's folded. So you take it out of the talus bag, and you get, before you put on tefillin, you put on the talus first. That's why we're learning these halachas first. Talus goes before the tefillin. Why? Talus is more common. Because you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. You wear a talus on, you wear tzitzis on Shabbos. So talus comes first. So you put on the talus first. So you take the talus out of the talus bag. I can just show you what I do. You partially unfold it, just like this. So now, see, the way you have it is you have all four tzitzis in a together, basically, right? They're all lined up. See, this is what I do. I don't know where I learned this from, but maybe my father, maybe. Then I take it while it's stretched out, but it's still folded, and I put it over my shoulder. And then I take each corner individually, and you look at where the hole is. Here's the hole. This is where, on this first corner, the tzitzis go through the hole. We'll discuss this a little later. Now, see, if one, there's four strings, that's doubled, so that's why it comes out to eight. But where it goes through the hole, on the corner, there's four strings. If one of those strings is torn at the point it goes through the hole, tzitzis are no good. They're possible. So what I do is, so I have it over my shoulder like this.
Torn means it's totally broken.
If one of these is snapped.
It's snapped.
If one of these is snapped. It's unusual, but it could happen. And then, see, over here it will look fine. But over here, for you on web land, is where the tzitzis go through the hole. If one of those strings, which are four here, is snapped, it's no good. The whole tzitzis is no good. So you look over at the hole, you look at the strings, it takes half a second. And it's okay. Then I take that tzitz, right, that one tzitzis, and I take it, and then I go to the end, where the tail is, we'll use that term, not where the fringe is. I take it and I separate it and I tighten at this. Now you can't tighten them on Shabbos, that you can't do. So on Shabbos you just separate them. But during the week, the other 6 days, now you can't tighten them on Yom Tov either. I tighten this while I separate it. Well, I accomplish two things. First of all, they're now not tangled. Second of all, I've tightened this last knot. The last knot is the last double knot is usually the one that comes untied. So this way, I check where the hole is, go to the other end, untangle them, tighten it. Then you go to the next one, right? Tzitzis number two, corner number two. You look at it, okay, it's good, separate. Then number three, look, good, set, tighten. Look, close, tighten, right? There you go. Very simple.
It's only exactly where it goes to the hole. I know you didn't look on the other side of that corner.
You but you'd be able to see. Exactly. Usually the hole is big enough that you could see through it. But you're right, if you can't for whatever reason, so it just takes a millisecond, a little more, right? And that's why you do it. Then you take it off and then you open it and you make a bracha on it, right? But like, it's a very simple thing. But that's what you're supposed to do. And you should do it with your small tzitzis also. Before you put your shirt on, do the same thing. You have it over your shoulder, check where the hole is, where the tzitzis go through, tighten, separate. Again, you don't tighten on Shabbos or Yom Tov.
If some of the middle windings are a little loose, is that a big problem?
No. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay? Right. So again, it's important that they should not be tangled. Well, sometimes they get tangled, they could be like knotted together and stuff like that. It's not nice, and again, halachically, it's really not the best thing. Tauskal, big taus. Okay, until now we really been talking about the small taus. Before Shacharis, one wraps himself in the tauskal and wears it throughout the service. Okay? As I told you before, that's why, right, you might ask, why do we wear a talus? Right, the big one. We call that a talus. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. I got tzitzis. I'm wearing the talus. Answer is no. To be wrapped, to be completely encircled in tzitzis is a higher level. So therefore, it's better to wear a talus. Before wrapping himself, a person stands and holds the tzitzis in his hands and recites the blessing, Lisatef, he says, Ba tzitzis, that to wrap oneself in tzitzis. And in other words, before you wrap yourself, you stand and you hold the tzitzis, we'll get back to that in a second, and you make a bracha, right? You always make a bracha, always. You always make a bracha before you perform the mitzvah, right? When women light Shabbos candles, this is a challenge. How do you do that? That's why they close their eyes and open eyes, right? There's a whole dipsy doodle there. But we always make the bracha before we do the action. If you did the action, then the bracha is gone. It always has to be that you do a bracha, as we call, over lasiyasan, before you do the action. For women, when they separate challah. So sometimes women, you know, cut the challah off and then make the bracha. That's wrong. You have to hold the dough and maybe have the knife there that's about to slice off and you make the bracha, then you slice it off. And we always have that rule that you always do the mitzvah, you always make the bracha, excuse me, and then do the mitzvah. Okay? So you're standing, you're holding the tzitzis, you make the bracha lisatef ba tzitzis, to wrap ourselves oneself in the tzitzis. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, he says lisatef ba tzitzis. Ba tzitzis. The Mishnah Berurah says you should say bit tzitzis. Lisatef bit tzitzis. Not ba, but bit. Okay? After reciting the blessing, one wraps himself in the talus, making sure to cover his head and his body with it, and flings the four tzitzis to his left side. One remains in that position for the amount of time that takes to walk for amos. Afterwards, he pushes the talus back from his head until the tefillin can be seen, which we will put on later, and he arranges the talus so that there are two corners in front and two corners in back. We're going to talk about that later. So here, I'll demonstrate, right? So now, the person checked his tzitzis, right? Okay, so you take it off the shoulder, and then you unfurl the tzitzis, right? Now, some people have a custom of kissing the piece of material like three times, alternating each side. Some people have that custom. Then, okay, watch this. I don't know how I'll describe it for internet land. But, right, you cross it over. Did I say that here? Yeah. Now, the Mishnah Berura says that you're supposed to bring the tzitzit, the end of the garment, not the tzitzit, the end of the garment till your mouth. So like that. Okay? Just describing the way the Mishnah Berura says to do it. That's the way he's going to do it. Right? Till your mouth. Now, you bring the tzitzit up from the back, like you just bring them up in the back with your fingers. Now, this is where people mess it up. Okay? We'll see this later. People bring it all the way up to their neck. And then, as he said, they fling it over, right? We'll see later, he'll talk about this. The Mishnah Berura says that's incorrect. You see a lot of people doing it that way. The whole idea is you're supposed to be wrapped in the tzitzis. Being wrapped means it's not a scarf. So again, you bring it down to the mouth, then you bring it up, but then you have to bring it down, see in the back? So it covers your back like this. Everybody see that? And then, I don't know how to describe it for internet land. And then, okay, now I got two tzitzis in my right hand, two tzitzis in my left hand. Okay, here comes the fling. Okay? Then you fling it over your left shoulder. Everybody see that?
Yes.
Now, see, I should have inserted something else. Before, when I had the two tzitzis in one hand with two tzitzis in the other before the fling, so when I'm about to fling, that's when you make the bracha. Bracha to Hashem Elohim Malkam, Hashem Kisham Mitzvah, Svam Litzatev, Vet Tzitzis or Bat Tzitzis, fling it, right? Because now, when it's over my shoulder, I fulfill the mitzvah, right? I'm wrapped up in tzitzis, right? Then you let it go down, and you know, however you want to wear it, right? Everybody got that?
Visual aid almost worked.
Now, I'll fold that up a little later. Now, see, he says, some communities have their own customs of how to wrap oneself in talis. Each person follows community's custom. Now, let's do 11 very quickly. It's very important. While wrapping himself in talis, katan or talis katan, one should remember that he's doing this to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis, right? We always have to focus on an intent before doing a mitzvah. So you have to remember, I'm doing the mitzvah tzitzis. And one should also have in mind that God has commanded him to wear tzitzis for the purpose of remembering and fulfilling all of his mitzvahs, or his mitzvahs, right? So that's the second thing. So before you do the mitzvah tzitzis, you should, besides saying the bracha, have in mind, I'm doing the mitzvah tzitzis, and through this, I'm remembering all the mitzvahs of Hashem. It's customary to wear the talis gadol during shacharis to include their talis katan in its blessing, right? I said that before. You make the bracha, if you wear a talis, as we call it, so you have in mind that should fulfill the obligation for a bracha for the small tzitzis. In this case, no blessing is recited when putting on the talis katan in the morning. Okay, this is important. The talis gadol should cover the body while one is reciting chakras. Now again, the Mishnah Berurah says this applies when you're making the bracha also. It should cover the body. So like I said before, a lot of people, when they make the bracha, they bring the garment up too high. And they put it like around their neck and then fling it around their neck. But the body is not covered. And so big mistake people make, the Mishnah Berurah says. So again, before you fling it over, it has to cover also your head. Your head's covered. But also it has to cover your body. So you got to bring it down lower to the small part of your back before you make that bracha. And then you fling it, right? It should not be worn around the neck like a shawl, right? Other branches of... I don't like using that term. It's not a branch of Judaism. Where there's only one branch of Judaism. But whatever word I'm looking for. Right, you see this. They wear it as a shawl. Right? That is not it. One should be careful not to let... they're not supposed to wear it that way. First of all, it's not covering most of your body. Right? It's just around your neck. Maybe your shoulders, but not over your back. So right? So some even in those other, whatever you call them, wear it a little lower, some. But then you have another problem, and that is, we'll get to that later. They're supposed to be, as as we saw before, you arrange the tiles afterwards that there should be two tzitzis in front and two tzitzis in back. Right? That's the way that you wear tzitzis, where it's a big tiles or a little tiles. It's supposed to be two tzitzis in front and two in back. Now in back doesn't mean all the way in back, it means like on the side of the person. In back won't be nice. But two in front and two like on the side. Now if you're wearing it the other way, as a shawl, all four in front are in front. That's not the mitzvah. It's supposed to be two in front, two in back. So they're making a double mistake. One mistake is it's not covering a majority of the body, it's not covering the back, just like a shawl over the shoulders. Number two is all four tzitzis are in front. It's another mistake. Okay? So that's something very important we got to remember. One should be careful not to let the tzitzis drag on the floor, besides the fact that they get dirty. It shows disrespect for the mitzvah and may cause the strings to tear. If they could tear, it gets caught on a chair, somebody could walk on, you know, there's a lot. I think they get very dirty. So again, that's a concern. Okay. Additional laws, page 28, next page. If one took off his tallis galal for a short time, for example, to go to the bathroom, he does not recite another blessing when he puts it back on. If, however, the tallis unintentionally fell off his body, even if he still has it held in his hand, he must recite a blessing a second time when he wraps himself in it again, even if he replaces it immediately. Okay? Some Sephardic Jews do not repeat the blessing in this case. Believe it or not, the Marsham, the Das Torah also says this. His angle was like this. The Marsham says you don't have to make a new bracha. In other words, again, so somebody's wearing a tallis and it falls off, right? It could slip off. Okay, now the one company advertised they have no slip tallis. Okay, well, whatever. But, you know, that's how far we've advanced. But, you know, tallis can fall off. That's why in the old days when my father was, men used to wear tallis clips. You don't see it so much anymore. People used to wear tallis clips. But anyways, yeah, people don't do that anymore. So if the tallis fell off, so then you have to make a new bracha. The Marsham says you don't have to. Why? Because in most cases you're still wearing your little tallis, your tallis katan. So you're still wearing tzitzis. So that's why a lot of times when a tallis falls off, again, many poskim say you do have to make a new bracha, the Mechaber tallis katan. But a lot of times we don't because even if it completely fell off, because, again, Sephardim don't agree with that. And also, the Marsham says that you don't have to.
Is that what you suggest?
Yeah. The mitzvah is a positive commandment which applies to garments that are worn during the daytime. So, what was the discussion about? Blankets. The garment. Four corners. Right? So, how about this? Answer is, it's actually not so simple, but it's, the halakha says we don't, because it's considered a night garment. I don't know if they have such a thing. Let's say you had poncho pajamas. So you wouldn't have to put tzitzis on that. Women are exempt from such mitzvahs and not obligated to serve the mitzvah tzitzis because women are absolved, they're not obligated in positive mitzvahs constrained within time. So tzitzis is only during the day. So Rav Moshe Zechatzak Baruch has a famous tshuva. Some women wrote him, fascinating tshuva, about if women can, okay, they're not obligated, but certain women wanted to wear, there was a movement that women wanted to wear tzitzis. So it's a classic Rav Moshe, actually it's not so classic. Very interesting tshuva by Rav Moshe, because he calls them Nashim Chashuvas, very important women who ask the question. And he goes through a whole discussion, and then in the middle, he gets to his point. I mean, the first is obviously important. He talks the basic halakhic angles to it. But then, at the end, he gets to the point, and the point is, he says, why are you doing it? Why? In other words, There's a lot of mitzvahs women have to do, right? You all know there's a lot of mitzvahs. So all of a sudden this, you want to be machmir and no, women don't do it, I want to do it. So he says, why? So he says a shocking thing for Ramosha, and that is he wonders if there's some apikorsis there, or some heretical thoughts. In other words, like, I want to be like a man. That's not a reason to do a mitzvah, that you want to be like a man. The reason why you do a mitzvah is because you want to come closer to Hashem. So it's very interesting, tshuva Ramosha.
What about if you work in
a hospital? What do you mean? You mean because you're wearing scrubs and it's going to get in the way or something?
All kinds of stuff. You walk into your patient's rooms and you find all kinds of stuff in there that is not exactly as clean as it should be.
Right, but that's not a problem for tzitzis because believe it or not, it's a good question. Gets involved with, let's say, the 12. In other words, let's say somebody intentionally took off the talis to go to the bathroom. So does he have to make a new bracha? No. Why? Because technically, you could wear tzitzis in a bathroom. Correct. So in other words, he could have. So, I mean, I always think of it this time of year, right? This time of year, November, fall time, it's very difficult because you walk on the streets and like they're putting fertilizer on every lawn. Besides the smell. Like if you want to say Tehillim or you want to think in learning or last Shabbos between the first and second minute I was walking home on Shabbos with Mr. Kaufman, so it was after the Shabbos morning Gemara share, sort of discussing what we were learning. So Mike Gardner on Thursday put fertilizer on. So we were getting close to my house. I said, Charlie, you know, you got to stop. And he said, why? I said, you know, because I got fertilizer all over the floor here. So, you know, like Kish Levana could be a problem this time of year. Again, in front of the shul, it's not such a problem. There's no lawn. But, you know, if you're saying Kish Levana privately, so that's a problem. But for tzitzis, it's less of a problem. Less of a problem. Again, there might be a problem, you know, walking around. So maybe you don't want to sell, you want in. Different issue. Okay, now, Leonardo, next week we'll pick this up. the next section discusses how to make tzitzis. If you're into macrame, so then it should be pretty easy. But, lanyards. Remember those? So you'd be good at this. We'll do that quickly. And then, again, there's just a little bit more, and then hopefully we'll finish the halachas at Sisters or the summation. Okay, Ashkok, everyone. Welcome back.